Miss Shillong time for a daily market wrap this Thursday, April 11, 2024. Stock markets dropped across Asia, led by Hong Kong and Australia, mirroring Wall Street's overnight move as hotter-than-expected inflation print for March reinforced the view the Fed will keep rates higher for longer. Here at home, local traders also digested a slew of data points. On the plus side, unemployment and underemployment both eased in February. While on the downside, ADB's Asian Development Outlook for April 2024 downgraded its GDP forecast for the Philippines this year to 6% from the previous estimate of 6.2%.
We have so much informality, even among wage earners. Being employed doesn't mean being gainfully employed. Government, since the end of last year, has been talking about supposedly the lowest unemployment rate since about 2005. I think at the same time, they should accept that even the Banco Central, the number of families without savings has increased actually by 600,000 in 2023. Over 19 million families don't have savings. Self-rated poverty surveys, private, more frequent than the government, has noted an increase in the number of poor and borderline poor Filipinos to, I think, as of last count, about 22 million. So basically, at the end of last year, when the government was saying that unemployment is the best in about 20 years since 2005, the number of families without savings, the number of families self-declaring themselves as poor or borderline poor, has increased to about 7 to 8 of Filipino families. Even in Metro Manila, which has the highest minimum wage across the regions, you can't even have two minimum wage earners and reach the family living wage. I mean, it's a problem not just in Metro Manila. I think it's much more problematic in the regions. Like I said, the 610 pesos minimum wage is the highest in Metro Manila. The average minimum wage is only 440 pesos, but the average family living wage is about 1,207 pesos across 17 regions. So like you mentioned earlier, that wage gap of about 762 pesos, that's felt most keenly in outside Metro Manila.
For the day, the PSE index tumbled back to the 6,600 level, down 1%, as net foreign selling hit a quarter of a billion.
Don't panic. I think we're still good. So far, the technicals are holding up, the fundamentals are holding up. This is likely just a knee-jerk reaction, and again, it's quite overdone in my opinion. So I'm still a buy and dips kind of guy, and I think this is the dip that we're talking about. So. Just a bit more cautious trading, but still be optimistic for the rest of the year.
Market will certainly react to the number from the web, and we'll continue to monitor risks to the inflation outlook locally, given that the worries that El Nino and geopolitics will continue to exert price pressures on key commodities like rice and oil, and delay the anticipated rate cuts from central banks. We recently raised our base case and 2024 PSEI target to 7,300 from 7,000 previously, as we recalibrated our 2024 earnings growth estimate to 10.5% from 9.1%.
In corporate stories, Mondanisin posts record consolidated revenue for the full year 2023, growing 9% to 80.2 billion pesos, driven by broad-based APAC-branded food and beverage volume growth, which offset the softness in the meat alternative business under the Corn Foods brand. In all, core net income attributable to shareholders of parent hit 7.6 billion. However, if you include one-offs, reported net loss for the full year was at 625 million, mainly due to a non-cash, non-operating impairment of assets in the meat alternative business. Meanwhile, the company behind Lucky Me Noodles and Sky Flakes will be reallocating unused IPO proceeds of around 229 million pesos to CapEx this year for its APAC branded food and beverage business. Still in earnings, Balay ni Frutas, which is behind Balay Pandesal, Buko ni Frutas, and Frutas House of Desserts, reports a 58% jump in 2023 net income to 59 million pesos, as revenue jumped just as much to over half a billion pesos. The company says Balay outperformed all other food service firms listed on the Philippine Stock Exchange in terms of both revenue growth and net income margin for 2023, despite inflationary pressure. How? Through limited price increase and a shift in product mix towards higher margin products. It also notes improved foot traffic, store network expansion, repeat customers, and the introduction of new products on the menu. In other news, integrated microelectronics subsidiary Via Optronics AG, a leading supplier of interactive display solutions, plans to voluntarily delist its American depository shares from the New York Stock Exchange. Via believes delisting ADSs from the U.S. public markets will be more economical, taking into account the low liquidity of its ADSs and the high cost of maintaining the New York Stock Exchange listing and U.S. SEC registration on an annual basis. It adds, delisting will also spare it from U.S. SEC reporting obligations and will allow the company to allocate resources more efficiently to execute its current business strategy by enabling its management and employees to focus more on managing its businesses and strengthening relationships. It anticipates that the last day of trading of the ADSs on the New York Stock Exchange will be on or about April 29 this year. And finally, Sun Life Philippines, still the number one life insurance company for 13 consecutive years after garnering 55.8 billion pesos in total premium income in 2023. The 129-year-old insurance company also ranks number one in terms of total assets at 306 billion pesos and net income at 8.8 billion. That is it for today's Market Edge. Don't forget to hit the follow button for the latest market action in the Philippines.